Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Tom Brady hopes to play at least 45.
Can we talk about that later?
They've been searching for Brady's potential successor.
Lightning struck in the name of Thomas Edward Patrick.
What would you say happens at 32?
The thing about the Patriots is they realize that they've got to get a good player at 32.
The more you get away with, the more okay you get with trying to get away with it.
And they give you cash, which is just as good as money.
I can't wait for OMF's breakdown of last night's game.
I'm more concerned with who is actually subscribing to PlayStation View.
Craig to Coyle!
Ah! Julian Edelman chugging a beer was awesome.
Love you, buddy.
Probably got everyone fired up, including us.
When I say Boston, you say...
Hey, keep the gas on in there!
Right now.
The guy who is nothing more than a glory hole ball stopper.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
What the hell is he talking about?
It's a glory hole. Can someone please put that in context?
Please.
I mean, I just don't want to say anything, you know, disparaging, yeah. But what the hell are we talking about there?
No clue.
Who glory was that? Hole?
Mark
glory
James?
Glory hole.
Mark James.
The Bruins winners last night in Game 7. You can't sit there and say that Toronto choked. Okay, they've choked in the past, giving up that 4-1 lead. Back in, 2013.
Yeah.
But they didn't choke last night. Played well. Played their ass off. Patuka Rask was that much better. And give it to him. It was a game seven. He's a lightning rod in the city. A lot of people were questioning whether he...
Good point.
Yeah, you know, well so, said. You guys know how I am. I watch these games not, I don't just root for the home team because
I
live
root for
here.
Good hockey.
I root to be right. I want to be right. So I said Toronto would win in six. They did it, so I said, fine. I can be half right. They'll win in seven.
People don't know this, but during the breaks, Christian breaks down the faceoff.
I want to do Bergeron, second
he's
to none. Bergeron,
down Columbus's
great.
Lines.
Yeah, yeah, I just started. I'll give you a full report later. But listen, Toronto should have won this game. They should have won this game. They did everything but score more goals. Like, that was it. And I would say...
Other than that.
But no, it felt like... So your third and fourth line, if you're the Bruins, would you ever think that you would get the most production, that the third... A couple guys on the third and fourth line were going to be the difference makers in this game?
No, and they were.
Toronto outplayed them.
No, you thought
Toronto
superstars.
Should have won the game. So they didn't act... It's like... We're acting like the Bruins played outside of their head. Other than Tuukka Rask, I mean, you're lucky you have Tuukka Rask because Tuukka Rask saved your ass.
You could argue that after two periods, you played well for about 6-7 minutes.
Yeah,
and in those moments, you know, that's when you got a couple of gifts. You know, you got a couple of goals, turnovers. And you took advantage of them. You gave one away, too. Moore gave one away, too, and Tavares scored. No. But, yeah, basically end of that first period, the last five and a half minutes, you took it to them. You went up 2-0, but you got dominated in the second period. But you got out of there down 2-1. I mean, up 2-1. So, yeah, and you played much better in the third. Yeah, you could argue, for seven games, they might have been the better team.
I don't know how anybody could look at this
last night.
But
Tuukka was great last night.
From a Bruins standpoint and feel comfortable watching the first period, other than the fact that you're up 2-0. Or the second period, looking at it now, it's a 2-1 game. I don't know how anybody could have looked at those first two periods from a Bruins standpoint and say that you feel good about it. Now, you were getting contributions from the third and fourth line, so there was some other stuff happening during the course of the game. But as I said, especially the second period with Tuukka Rask, that was big.
See, I was done. After the second period, I was like, all right, you got – basically Toronto gave you everything. They gave you everything they had. They had tons of opportunities, and it just felt like they missed on so many opportunities. Like the puck was just sitting there on the ice, and guys were whiffing at it, and they couldn't hit the damn thing. And yeah, Tuukka played well, but I look at it more as Toronto just laid an egg. even though they played great, the opportunities that they had, they could not convert, and they turned the puck over at the worst possible place at the worst possible time, and they couldn't overcome it. They couldn't recover from it.
They didn't even commit any penalties either. Bruins never on the power play,
right?
Not one. So that was huge because their power play was clicking.
But they
didn't commit anything.
Right.
So they did what they wanted. They couldn't finish, you know. And I thought they came out of the gate. So it's not like one of these things where it's like Toronto didn't show up. Although Freddie Anderson, that first goal by Nordstrom, I think everybody sat there and watched that game and said, how the hell did that thing go in? And right there you said, okay, this guy's toast. You know, and then the Gardner turnover, Johansson, that was a beautiful shot. But you were just like, all right, Tuca's better than this guy right now.
Yeah, and all this talk about Game 7, I get it. It was pretty exciting. But the real Game 7, what happened in Vegas, all right, with Vegas and San Jose, that's Game 7. Game 7. I know, I said with Vegas. Oh. It was in San Jose. But that's what, if you're talking about Game 7 magic, nothing like Game 7, that was a game.
What are you talking about? They claim that they got robbed.
They kind of did get robbed.
There's two parts to this one. Because first off, the penalty I thought was a joke. They just reacted. They didn't see. They saw blood and gave the guy five minutes. Was it a cross-check? Yeah, it was a cross-check push. He lost his balance. The other guy buried him.
Should have been a
minor. It should have been 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And they should have been 3-1 at the end of the penalty, right? But you gave up 4 power play goals. I mean, 4. So you got to take a little bit of blame, right? The kid out there is comparing it to the Saints game. I don't think so. I mean, I know the Saints went to OT, right? So, okay, you had a chance. But this one here, you're the team that gave up 4 power play. As much as I admit that it was a joke. And an awful call, and it should have been 3-1 with about whatever minutes left to go in that game, 9 minutes to go, whatever it was, 10 minutes, I forget. You still gave up 4.
Yeah. Yeah. They got that first goal with 6 seconds into it.
Six seconds into it,
you're like, oh no, this is not good. But still, Vegas was able to score a goal and tie it up with less than 50 seconds left in the game. And you're saying, okay, good, momentum shift, okay, back at even, okay, now we'll get back on track. No, not so much. So my whole wish with the Bruins and the Vegas Knights,
it's over.
That is done. I do not care anymore.
Where would you like to go?
I don't want to go to San Jose. I can tell you that much. No. What are my other options?
Like St. Louis?
Lovely this time.
St. Louis.
San Jose.
Dallas.
Lovely this time.
You know what is kind of cool, though? I will say this about Boston, and I don't, you tell me, both of you guys tell me, because I don't really feel like we see this in other cities. I do know there was a bunch of San Francisco 49er players in the San Jose Sharks booth because they were celebrating and drinking and going crazy. But in this game, it was kind of cool. You had members of each team in the city except the Revolution. I don't know where they put the Revolution. If Revolution wanted to go to a Game 7, I don't know where the Bruins would put them.
Were they playing last night?
Yeah, you didn't have the Red Sox, obviously, because they were playing the second of a doubleheader. But you had a bunch of Patriots players there. You had a bunch of Celtics players there
and their coach.
That is cool. I'm not going to get all Dan Roche on you. But that is kind of cool when you see the support of the other teams who have won a lot, especially the Patriots with their success. That to me is kind of neat.
I saw our buddy Sean McAdam was pitching on Twitter last night that why aren't they bringing out some of the great Bruins players? Great history, right?
I mean, why don't you let them wave the flag?
Why are you letting Edelman do it and Gronk do it? When's Brady going to do it? They've asked Brady. Brady's in town. He's in the city. What's it going to take for Brady to be the flag guy?
Stanley Cup Finals.
That's it, right? The Stanley Cup Finals. Game 7, let's effing go.
Bobby Orr. One of the greatest of all time. People can rate him wherever they want.
What do you mean, one?
One, because I don't want to have the debate. He's first, second, third, whatever it is. Fine. That's not for the debate.
Right.
But, and I know the Bruins fans would love to see Bobby Orr with the flag, but there's just something with Edelman, Gronk, right?
Oh, boy.
No, and that's
you're trying to get the crowd going.
I do believe that.
Who are you going to go with next? Nifty? I mean, Middleton's up there. Game 7. It's like nah.
No. They're saving that chip. They're saving that poker chip.
It's either.
Well, who else would it be? Who else would it be?
Well, they're going to have Game 7s now. Well, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, this
all be at home.
Matthew Slater. It's not going to be Matthew.
You don't think Matthew Slater's going to
win? Who?
How about Robert Kraft?
No, not Robert Kraft. Bill? Would Bill do it?
I don't think Bill's doing waving the.
Why not?
Bill would go to the game
because he'd have that uncomfortable
smile. You'll see Bill at the games.
I don't think he would.
I don't think he would be all in.
You got to show a lot of energy.
You're right.
You got to commit.
It's Brady.
To it.
Brady game 7.
Brady game 7 of the Cup. Yes, that is it. Because they have home ice now, right?
Yep.
Yes.
All the way through.
All the way through.
There you go. You heard it here first. All the way Brady through. Flag banner guy.
Suppose you win in 4.
Well, it's got to be seven. It's because it has to be the most important game of your life.
Yeah, but game seven of the Cup is like the end of July, and camp's basically started.
That's
it goes
true.
On. No, it's actually June.
Yeah, when will it end?
Still, June.
So wait, so OTAs, yeah, so mandatory mini camps will probably be around June.
Mm.
So maybe the whole team takes the bus up there. Maybe the whole team, they whip out their, you know, Lombardi trophies and their Super Bowl
rings. Careful what you whip out. Already got
can we not
trouble.
Say that? Who said it was whipped out anyways?
All right, so have you learned everything you need to know about the Blue Jackets?
No, I can honestly say I have not seen
Pierre
one game.
Pierre-Luc Dubois.
No. Here's the thing I hate about hockey is the fact that the names, they're just not fun. They're just
what
not easy.
Pierre
I want good old
Dubois?
Fashion American names.
Oh, stop.
Gilmore, Simpson,
how about you,
White,
Cam
Brown.
Cam Atkinson.
Is that good? Oh, fine.
Josh
Anderson. Good enough.
Bizon, Nicolino.
I like Hansy. I like it every time Jack was saying Hansy. How about Jack with all his hockeyisms? I learned a lot of them.
I didn't listen to him.
You don't listen to the local broadcast?
It's a better picture.
I feel like we're supposed to look at this.
Can I just bring this up? He is right. And Nesson, I don't know what the issue is.
I don't know what to tell you. It's a better picture.
I don't know what the issue is because I like Jack and I like Brick and I like their broadcast.
But
the problem is there is a decisive difference.
Yes,
repetitious? All right, whatever. There's a difference in the picture when you go to NBC Sports versus Nesson. It is a more crisp, better picture.
Really expensive TVs.
I do think that, you know, that the games, they should be called by the home guys, but they're not. So I'm going to go to the best picture.
Why is that?
Why is what?
I have no idea.
Why is it that NBC Sports has a better picture than Nesson? Because I want to watch the local guys. I agree with you. I think the local guys know more about the local team. I think they know as much about the opposition team because they're doing their homework.
So
what about one series, one game?
But the picture's much different. You don't have the issue with the Celtics and TNT?
I paid the extra money.
No.
My TV is actually 5K.
I prefer the TNT broadcast because I feel like the Celtics broadcast is just way over the top homerism at its worst. I can't handle it. It gets way too hokey and goofy for me. Not that saying, you know, the Maple Leafs turned into mulch or, you know, you got to put that. You know,
Krejci takes it away. Krejci to Coyle. And the Leafs are mulch again.
I laugh at it.
That's why, because it's Jack and it's Heinsohn. You know what I mean? You laugh at it. Is it because it could be so over the top?
That's the why. Leafs yeah. are mulch.
They know the team better.
How many games does NBC Sports Boston get in the Celtics Bucks playoff series?
I don't think they get any.
None at all.
No, remember we were talking the other day.
Yeah,
we had
Scal.
He just said this could be, you know.
So they'll do pregame and postgame and stuff
like that.
Yeah,
and halftime. Game three could have been.
Because I'll tell you what,
Tommy's last game.
Tommy is not going to be happy in this series because Giannis.
This year.
Yeah, Giannis will probably go to the free throw.
As many
times in each one of these games as the entire Celtics team. He will spend half the game at the free throw line. Mm-hmm. That will drive Tommy absolutely crazy.
Never take your foot off a snake.
Yeah, I like that. Was my favorite one.
Take your foot off the snake.
You don't ever take your foot off a snake. You ever done that? You ever put your foot on a snake, first of all?
Yes.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in that position?
Yeah, then he gets free and you're like, damn it.
Oh, he bit me.
Yeah, you try to go get him again.
And you scream like that.
So do we think Jack Wright... These don't come right off the top of his head.
Of course not. There's no cards all over the window.
He's got them all written down.
I love how people are like, oh, what a spontaneous call right there. It just came to him like that.
Release some mulch. It came out of nowhere.
So Milbury, I'm watching last night on NBC Sports. Milbury dropped an F-bomb. And he was like a fan. It wasn't part of the commentary. So there was a terrible one of those two calls. Well, one was too many men in the ice. What was the other
one?
That was
awful.
Yeah.
On the Bruins' point. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, I forget what the other one was. But so he dropped the F-bomb. It was like, oh, bleep.
Do we have it?
Because I'm sure we could. And, of course, you had Doc Emrick speechless. There was a pause, almost like he must have given that dirty, nasty, stink-eye look.
Icing is called. Not a popular call. But it gives the Bruins a chance.
Was that seconds into the game? Because the first icing was kind of
yeah. It was
ridiculous.
One of the icings.
It
was
right
early.
Away.
Yes, early.
Right away.
Yes.
First thing. Yes. Yeah. Right away. I mean, seriously, that was like
he was
the
like
first
a fan though.
That was early. That was
yes.
Like, wow, yeah. We're out of the gate, huh? We're gonna drop an F bomb. Wow, that's good. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I missed that. I was driving was in.
With a better picture than Nessun.
It just had a better picture.
How is it Nessun can't get a better picture? It's something to do with the compression, right?
That's you asking me? You know what? Yes, there's a lot of reaction with the ticker. The ticker doesn't piss me off. And I don't care about the ticker,
but the
picture wasn't as good.
Yeah, I was not watching it on a great TV.
Well, were you watching it on your phone?
No, I was watching it on a... like a seven.
Don't act like you're one of us. You're not one of us.
I tell you what, I was not watching it. I was not watching it in 1080. I was not watching it in.
But yeah, there's no shows, but you can see frogs going from lily pad to lily pad.
You can see those. The frogs.
He doesn't even need the DVR because he's got like three.
It was a praying mantis, by the way.
And the signal's not that good either because I live by the ocean because I got a lot of money.
And I gotta watch the Dallas Stars game. Then I'll go forget the Portland game too. I need the Portland game.
I'm gonna stay up late for that night's game because I know it's gonna be awesome.
I can't believe. You stayed up for those games last night as well.
It's called DVR.
You still no?
Oh no, I don't stay up for a 10 o'clock game. Oh, no.
I stayed up for all
you DVR in the that game,
the night's game. Yeah,
Vegas.
Yes.
Wow, look at
that
you.
That was the goal. Was that not the ultimate goal?
No.
Yes, you were into that game.
I liked that game.
All right.
It was good. All right, Bruins and the Columbus Blue Jackets open up tomorrow night at the Garden, and here we go. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see this game tomorrow night at the TD Garden. Be the ninth caller. Right now at this phone number, 617-931-0937. That's 617-931-0937. You win a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on Columbus Game 1. Second round of the playoffs tomorrow. The Bruins have advanced to the second round, and they take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at the TD Garden. Why are we repeating the same thing I just said? Experience the excitement of the 2019 Boston Bruins playoffs presented by Beth Israel Lahey Health. Get your tickets right now at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins.
It's a Scandinavian assault.
That's the ninth caller right now, 617-931-0937. You win a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow, Bees and Columbus.
You know, so there's a lot of talk about, you know, coaching and who out-coached who, Babcock versus Cassidy and blah, 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 blah.
Who won the game?
It doesn't
Cassidy.
Even...
Cassidy
doesn't
out-coached
even,
him.
Yeah, but you know what? But it doesn't even matter.
Is that your because, name? Babcock?
Because if Tuukka Rask, it's there's so many similarities between goalies and quarterbacks. It's crazy to me because if, just like a quarterback, if a quarterback wins, he's supposed to give all the credit to somebody else. If they lose, even if you only give up one goal, right, or even if you throw for 300 yards but the defense can't stop anyone, it's your fault. You have to take the blame. So you get a lot of the credit, but you also take all the blame. And the Tuukka Rask thing, you know, as far as the criticism and the expectations and, you know, what he's supposed to do, forget about coaching and who did it better. It doesn't matter because as long as you have a goalie that plays great, it doesn't matter what lines you throw out there. It doesn't matter what decisions you make. He saves your ass.
I was just looking. I got it sent to me. Boston Sports Info guy. In win or go home games, Tuukka Rask played in six of them now. Played in two. Remember, game six, game seven. You lose, you go home. He's now 4-2. Save percentage of .920. And a 2-1-2 goals against. That's pretty good.
And people here don't trust him.
And the good news for Tuukka is that as good as you were in Game 7, and people give you all the credit in the world, you have an entire series to get criticized.
Yep.
Coming up here next.
Yep.
And here's the better news. If you beat Columbus, then you're in Eastern Conference Final. I mean, it never ends, right? It's the goalie. It never ends is the point. Like, he's a good goaltender. And if I was him, I'd be pissed at what Tim Thomas did back in that Stanley Cup year because I don't know if that can ever be repeated. But he was good in this game. I would say, if anything, I never thought the goalies were much of the discussion in winning and losing.
I think they were both
but
good in this series.
They were good.
Until this last game.
And you might make the argument that Freddie was better at times. Because even when the Bruins lost, it could have been bigger blowouts. But in Game 7,
yeah.
I think Freddie was a little bit of a puddle.
Yes.
I just think that Nordstrom goal, just you can't let that goal in that game. Game 7.
Right.
You can't be down 1-0 on that goal. That can't happen.
Yeah, you got to give Rask the credit. Yet people will take it today, but do you think there's great trust going up against maybe a better goaltender in the next series? And if they get Washington, so let's say Washington wins tonight, and they get the Capitals two series from now, you tell me with Holtby and his history against the Bruins, Is anybody going to feel comfortable about
But that's what I mean. Like, that's where it comes into. We have this discussion in the NFL all the time. You can't win the big game. Was last night a big game?
Huge.
And he was very, elimination. Very good, right?
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. So there's going to be another big game in this series. And if he happens to give up one or whatever, we're going to say he can't win the big game. And it's just you always push it forward. If the guy's great in the division round, great in the AFC title game, but isn't great in the Super Bowl, we say he choked. Well, he had to do something great to get there.
Well, he wasn't great in Game 7 last year against Toronto.
Well, they went like 7-4, they were right. Both, yeah,
exactly.
Neither one of them agreed.
So it didn't matter, right? But it's not, and they always compare it, and you said this earlier today, Christian, they always compare it to 2011 and Tim Thomas,
yeah,
who had just an unbelievable playoff run. It was phenomenal. It was off the charts. He might have been, if we're talking about all of the championships that have been won during all of this run in Boston, he might have been the single most responsible guy for the Bruins winning that year. I'm not saying that the guys weren't good. There were other guys who weren't good, but he might have taken a bigger piece of the pie if you're looking at who deserves the credit, because he was off the charts. And I think people expect that Tuukka Rask has to play up to that ability.
Well, if you're celebrating a championship, that's the reason why. And you want to go into the do I trust him, do I not trust him? I would say, why not? It's all based on
they don't trust
timing anyways.
I don't think they trust him.
Regardless of how he played during the regular season, losing his job, getting his job back, ups and downs, seems like they've been playing since October. Well, actually, they have been playing since October. But it seems like they've been playing for an entire year.
Yeah, but
it's been such a long season. So it's all timing book.
But Lou's talking about two elimination games here, the last two games. But if you look at his overall playoff record, it's not been real good. It hasn't. You know, what was the series in Philadelphia that he fell apart? Years, right?
Yep.
A few years back against the Flyers when they had a 3-1 lead in that series, and he fell apart. So people, I think, look at him, and they rested him a lot more this year. He played a lot less during the regular season because that was one of the complaints.
He did early, but then he was really good.
I don't know if that was just a sign sending a message. I don't know what that was. Maybe it was just he talks about how
Halak was better. Earlier in the year, he was better. And after about 10 games or so for Tuukka, I forget, you can look at the numbers, he was very good. I mean, he started playing. He was very good. But you're right. It's just a goaltender. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. It's you could talk about this line, that line, but you saw the turnovers in the defensive end. I mean, it cost both teams last night. It cost the Bruins in game one. It was atrocious. Take care of the puck in your own end. You know, you put Tuukka in a bad spot, hey, he's got to make big saves, but it's always going to come down to
him. Here's the other thing, too. The expectations have all changed today. Since you've beaten Toronto, and I think most people expected the first round was going to be a difficult one, probably a 7-game series. You win it, and then you go on to Tampa, and you lose, and the season is over, and people are sitting there going, okay, we're fine. The young kids are starting to play a lot better in the second half of the season, so we're good for next year. Everything has changed. You have suddenly zoomed to the top of the Vegas betting line.
You got the target now.
Right. You are suddenly the team that people say, because you've got home ice advantage.
It changes the fans.
It changes everything.
Expectations. And now it's a missed opportunity if you don't get to the cup with this older core right now.
Except the way things have gone in the NHL this year, I'm not sure they are the favorite. I think there are a bunch of teams out there, a lot of them that could win this thing. It's just, it's wide open right now. When you look at what's remaining, don't you think any one of these teams could win?
I do, but I mean, you are the best team left.
During the regular season, but the regular season we found out in the first round of the playoffs.
I understand that, but you are, technically, you have home ice all the way through, right to the Stanley Cup. Now, the one question is Washington, right? They're in a Game 7 tonight, Stanley Cup winner. So, you know, if they win tonight, they'll probably be the odds-on favorite to win the Cup. But as of right now, before Game 7, the Bruins are.
And they've won the 3 games they've played at home. So if you're looking for home ice advantage, it's been home ice advantage for them or the Hurricanes in that series. But I think it's wide open. What's Columbus? Maybe Columbus is, you know, at this point
very
of the season,
yep.
Maybe they were simply a better team than Tampa Bay was. As great as Tampa Bay was during the course of the year and historical numbers, you know, what did they win by? 20 points, 19 points or something like that over the Bruins? They had 128, the Bruins had, what, 107 or something like that, 21 points. And yet you look at it right now and say, you know, maybe they just – Columbus was just peaking at the right time because they were great down the stretch. They had
Bruins. So when do they play anyways?
Who?
The Bruins.
Tomorrow night.
They're playing tomorrow night.
Bruins win.
Unbelievable. Wait, so Bruins win?
Yeah, the seven games playing. I think
it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I think it is.
And Columbus has been resting for like how long? A week?
Yeah, they have. But now you got to match playoff intensity. You got to get into a game and realize you're playing the playoffs again. And I just believe in that. I think that stat, I heard it the other night, that since 2000, only three times has a team swept a team waiting for another team to play a game seven. It's only happened three times. Twice now it's going to happen in Eastern Conference this year. But all three times, the team that went game seven won the series. And I think the layoff, sometimes you lose it. You lose a little bit of the edge. That's all. You might be rest. You might have guys healthy. But Cassidy even said it before the game. Strangely enough, as the series went on, they got healthier.
Yeah, they did.
Now, we don't know if there's nagging injuries. You find that stuff out. But they got healthy. They got guys back.
Kevin Miller was the only one.
They got Johansson back. I mean, they felt like they got more back.
Yeah.
They got healthier as the series went on.
See, Moore was not good last night, by
the way. If I'm Columbus, I would think that first period, they're skating around like their hair's on fire. Because it's
I think
just so much
be in a fog.
And then, well,
I don't think
I
they can match the Bruins intensity in the first period.
Well, I see. I think they easily can. I think there could be a natural tendency just to exhale a little bit. And wow, we just went through this again. And here it could be a little, I guess, daunting when you see how much energy and speed they have. And then knowing that you just played 48 hours ago in an emotional game that went down to the wire in Game 7. And Julian Edelman was the flag guy.
Maybe light a fire on those ass. I don't know.
Justin Bieber had to take the walk of shame.
So does it benefit you, though, if you had the week off? Does it benefit you in Game 2, in Game 3? Are there some residual effects? Maybe. See, I think
Columbus' best advantage should be Game 1.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about that.
I don't know about that.
See, I really believe that hockey, more than any of these other sports, is really about emotion. How is it that we've seen the best players in the game are done and on vacation right now? Because the emotion of the game is so big.
Five-minute major, cross-check.
Exactly, right. That's one reason. Bad call, right. But there is a difference between that. You know, we keep on citing the differences between the NBA and the NHL. That's a big difference. The stars in the NBA, they're the ones that win.
Yeah.
In the NHL, it's right. It's emotion, and so maybe he's right. Maybe the Bruins will come out, and they will still have that. And it takes a while. You've been scrimmaging for a week. That's what you've been doing on your own rink, right?
I think it'd be tougher than the match intensity. That's all. Being away from it for so long.
Well, that is an interesting stat, though, that you brought. Because I sit there and go, God, those football teams that have those that have the first round bye, and they play the team that's 10-6 and won the division, but have to play in that first good team, and then they come in and they just smoke the team the first round bye because. They never got a break. They never took a day off, and they're just hardened.
I thought the stat was interesting. I don't really think it means much. I think you got to look at every situation, because if a team sweeps somebody and they got guys banged up, they can get healthy. The team that goes seven, they get guys banged up in the process. So that could change a lot. But when it comes to the Bruins, again, they had three guys came back that really helped them. And I know Moore, that awful turnover, on the boards, and Tavares scored that goal. But they had three guys that came back healthier. That helped them towards the end of the stretch. And Corrali, I don't think he was good in Game 5. Is that when he came back?
Right.
But 6 and 7, I mean, he got comfortable. Changed everything.
I think the people are going to look at this team, this Columbus team, and say they were the second wild card team. So that's basically your eighth seed in a conference. And they're going to sit there and look at it. This is a team you should beat. But I think hockey is so weird. It's so different than these other sports that maybe Columbus is the best team right now. There's a reason that for four games, after giving up three goals in the first period, right, of game one, they're trailing early on in that game. From that point on, they dominated the series. You're telling me that Tampa Bay couldn't flip the switch? We keep on talking about the Celtics flipping the switch. They couldn't flip the switch? Something. Maybe we're just underestimating Columbus. And you got Tortorella. I mean, come on, please. That is like heaven
for
us.
He didn't speak today.
I don't know, but he'll be great, and he's from here, of course, so that even adds to it. It's a perfect situation for us. This is the local guy, so they're going to make a big deal about that as well, and the childhood and all this other stuff. It'll be great. All right, we're also talking about the Celtics. We have now got word. Sunday, 1 p.m. It is game one in Milwaukee, the Celtics and the Bucks, and we got a lot of calls earlier from Celtic fans who are really pumped and jacked, and they think the Celtics are going to win this series. So we'll get to those phone calls as well. Bruins and Celtics on the table at 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think it's important to understand is that he can't bench Nylander.
Why not?
I think it's time for Babcock to leave the city. He just can't roll through lines.
Why not? I mean,
this guy is just stubborn. Let's say bye, Babcock. There's a couple of sayings out there, Jeff, that the fish rots from the head.
The questionable decisions by Babcock are definitely questionable.
I'm done.
I don't know how to coach an NHL team, and I don't know why he did it.
Babcock is such an arrogant man, he would do anything to prove his point. Babcock wanted to see him fail so that he could be right.
They're not ready yet. Their body of a 21-year-old is not the same body as somebody that's 29. Or 30.
Yeah, it's better. It's in better shape.
No.
How can you say that?
No.
We got to move on. We got a lot of callers. Thanks for the call.
They got a lot of pissed off callers. That's what they had. That's Toronto radio today. They're going out of their mind. Okay. I love this whole Babcock thing. Would we be doing the same thing here if the Bruins had lost that game last night? Would we be doing it with Cassidy?
Yeah, you started to hear it throughout the series.
Yeah.
I mean, Cassidy, you know, he changes lines. He's creative in the regular season. The postseason gets stubborn. He can't coach in the postseason. We started hearing it throughout the series at all. So if Tuca had a little bit of a meltdown, you know, and that second period got away from him, you know, or early on in this game got away from him. You were only in the third period, down 4-2, or whatever. Then, yeah, people would be talking about Bruce Cassidy. Instead, we got articles, you know, Fluto wrote one about how Cassidy outcoached Babcock.
Yeah, see, I don't
And if Babcock's team had won, and Freddie made some big saves, we'd be talking about how Babcock outclassed Cassidy.
I don't buy that. I mean, they both made, you know, changes. I would say, I would give Cassidy the edge in that he made more changes than Babcock did. But I think Babcock was waiting for his guys to wake up. But what do you do if you look at that Tavares line? Don't you give credit to Bergeron? Don't you give credit to Zdeno Chara for the job that's part of it.
To me, it's like you give credit to Cassidy for putting Bergeron against Tavares now because they won the series. If they had lost the series, it would have been because he didn't move them around enough. You know? So, it wasn't never about, for Bruins fans, to me, or at least for me, whatever, it was never about holding that Tavares line. It was more about getting the best line in hockey, the most dangerous line in hockey, getting them going, moving them around to get them going. Because you need them to get going. In the Game 7, you didn't.
Yeah,
it was third and fourth line.
Yeah, but
and they won, so it was a good move.
Okay, but you shut down
Marner.
You still got very little out of Pasternak during the series. He's got to play a lot better in the next series, right? He does. I mean, if you look at it overall, the Bruins played well, but they didn't play great. They made a lot of mistakes. I thought last night they gave up the puck an awful lot. And they could have got burned last night if it weren't if
well,
it
you know,
weren't
we'll,
for rest.
We'll do the deep dive. I know all of us. I know I'm going to study film tonight in Columbus.
I'm going to do the same thing.
Whether they should keep that line together or not, break them up. So, you know, the deep dive will be tonight as far as the scouting.
I don't know if I can do the deep dive tonight.
No?
I think I'd rather dive into something else.
Oh, okay.
Get your minds out the gutter.
You're having pizza.
Wow, you guys are terrible.
Pizza tonight.
Terrible.
Hey, you know, I'm just saying.
Jeez. sick bastards.
The questionable decisions by Babcock are definitely questionable.
I like that line.
Oh, God, I love that line. The questionable calls by Babcock.
That is a good line. I like that
But that's what people do. I mean, you bitch about the guy. You got to blame somebody, right? Nobody wants to sit there and try to, you know, analyze it fairly, but... would it surprise me if the Bruins lost in the next round because Columbus was a better team? No, that's the NHL. I mean, if you're looking at a number one versus an eight seed or a Bruins as a number two versus an eight seed, you'd look at it and say in the NBA, oh, my God, you better beat that team. But this is the NHL. It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, we know very little about Columbus.
Wins. The best goalie wins. That's it. I don't care how stacked you are. I don't care how good you are, how talented
Bobrovsky
you are,
is
how
good.
Much history
He's good.
You have. Whoever's got the best goalie wins,
the hottest goalie,
regardless of how much your payroll is or what you got them for talent. Doesn't matter. That's why it's just it's
a big part of it.
And I don't know, I even know how Vegas handicaps these games. I honestly don't get it. Would you say the line was for last night's game and the over and under was?
Over under was 5.5. And that last goal by Bergeron made the over.
The empty netter.
So I don't know if somebody was pissed, happy, whatever. I don't know. Hopefully it worked out for you.
1 second left.
I mean, it wasn't even. Think it was about less than a second left.
Right. Think about how much money exchanged hands, switched hands with less than a second.
Imagine
that
if you
game.
Had the under and you're like, don't shoot it. Don't shoot it.
Or miss it wide. Wide
left. The buzzer went off. It didn't count.
You don't need it. They can't get back in the game.
Meanwhile, you get the over. You're like, just shoot the puck.
Do we have the betting line for the Celtics yet and the Milwaukee Bucks? Is that out yet?
If
you
look
that up over there, see if you can find that line. Because if you're betting here locally, all we're hearing is people calling us up who love the Celtics in this series. And again, I want to repeat, I clearly think the Celtics have a chance in the series. I'm not saying there's no chance in this series, okay?
But they you have Bucks in seven.
I have Bucks
we
in seven.
We both have Bucks in six.
You guys are being very unfair to the Celtics. Very
yeah, I mean, you saying Bucks in seven, I mean, it's a coin flip.
I think the home...
Even though home court
I think
will help.
I think you're going to see...
It'll be the reverse. It'll be just the opposite of what happened last year.
I think you're going to see home court play a big into it. And that's why I'm saying if the Celtics want to have a chance of winning this series, you got to take one of these first two. You got to take one of these first two. Then you come back.
The script
you take
is the
two
same
at home.
Every single year.
Yeah, with the NBA?
Yeah.
There's a formula.
Same script. I know.
But you can see these first round games, they're playing out. You know, if you lose one of those first two games, then you got a problem. You know, if you're losing another one, unless you're Golden State.
So the Bucks are favored. They're minus 260. The Celtics are plus 220.
Okay.
That's what I'm staring at.
All right.
So the Bucks are favored. They should be favored.
They're the better team right now.
Yes.
The narrative is
that, okay, look what the Celtics did last year without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward. They didn't have Kyrie Irving. They didn't have Gordon Hayward. The team was basically the same, yet, and they went to the Eastern Conference Final. You added two great players, so they should obviously, they should beat the Bucks. Even though they don't have home court, they should beat them in six games.
Well, Milwaukee's a much better team, too.
Amazing that
people are missing
almost like
that.
They just, and it's not like the Celtics have played great as a team. They have not played great as a team all year, and you're using one series against a team that was nosediving because they had no talent. They were good physically, good defensive team, so you give them credit for that, but they had no shooters. They had no killers. They had that one guy out there that was going to break your heart.
They didn't have him. Glenn, didn't you say the Celtics, well, they finished the year, 8-8?
Second half of the season from the All-Star break on, they were 12-12.
Yeah, no, because we had Scallon the other day, and I asked him, I'm like, you know, was there ever a point in, because to me, teams, like a team like basically LeBron James' team, not the Lakers, but whether it's Miami or Cleveland, there was always that month where they just steamrolled through teams. And then all of a sudden they stopped playing, you know, and they just, they all of a sudden, what's wrong with LeBron? What's wrong with Cleveland? What's wrong with Miami? Something's wrong. And then they pick it back up. They flip the switch. Well, because they already showed that what they can do. I don't think the Celtics team ever really showed me, you know, that they're capable of flipping a switch for like a week.
What are you talking about? They just did it over Indiana. That's what people are citing now.
No, I don't buy that. Now, Scal says he thinks they did. And I was looking the
defensively.
Defensively, I guess they went, 6-2 in their last eight?
Yeah. You know what? Defensively,
of course, they lost four straight before that, so you could say they're 6-6 in their last 12. But I think he's talking about the last eight. We said defensively, he thinks they did flip the switch.
I think they were better.
I don't know how you can judge. This is what Gilroy last week said, that they played elite defense against a bad offensive team.
You can't.
How do you know?
Yeah.
If they're a bad offensive team, how do you know?
Well, I'll tell you what. You'll know in this series, because if they go out and play elite defense and they can contain Milwaukee, Milwaukee averages like 120 points a game. So you need to play this game a lot lower than that. You don't want to play around 120 if you're the Celtics. If anything, in this series, Celtics probably want to slow things down. Milwaukee's the team that's going to play at a fast pace. They push the ball.
And, you know, that 6-2 final, like I said, down the stretch. So you had the Pacers twice. I mean, we know they're a juggernaut offensive team. You had the Cavaliers, the Heat a couple times, Brooklyn, Orlando, and Washington.
Heat was still fighting for a playoff spot at that point. So they were legit. But the rest of them, you're right. Throw them out the window.
I like tune-ups, though.
Yeah.
You know, as far as confidence builders. Okay, yeah, they're fighting for a playoff spot, but you're still better than them talent-wise, you should still win.
See, Brad Stevens was saying that in his interview today on the other station, and he was talking about it was a good tune-up for them. The only way I see it is a good tune-up is they got a team that's aggressive defensively. So you were forced to stay alive, stay awake offensively. Right. They made them work. So in that aspect, I would agree. But here's where I disagree, that how many times did they not take advantage of stuff out there? Indiana can't score. How many times did we sit here and watch layups that they missed constantly during the course of that season?
Well,
during the course of that series.
I will say,
Bogdanovich, how many easy ones did he miss?
If they end up turning the ball over, they're not going to, you know, the Bucks will make them pay. But I will say, to add to Stevens, is, you know, in that series, as far as, you know, lessons, you know, to take into the next series, you know, they were down in every fourth quarter. They had to find a way to get back into the game, even though the Pacers helped them out a lot because they couldn't make a shot. So they when they went on runs, I mean, they went on runs because it was like clang, clang. I mean, they couldn't catch a break.
So, yeah, but that's not going to happen.
So I know, but that's...
You can't fall behind the Bucks, though, and do that.
No, I agree with you, but whether it's real or not, I mean, at least you walk into the first game of the series with some confidence
that if you
find yourself in that situation, you can come back.
But that's the thing. Do you think you go on runs because of offense?
No, you're stopping.
What do you mean you go on runs?
I mean, you don't go. To me, it's like, you know, they went in a 16-0 run. Okay, that's not because of your offense.
Well, you still got to make the shots.
I know, but that's because you held them to 0 points.
Or they missed open shots.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But in the case of Indiana, you could argue that they're missing open shots.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you go on a run 16-2, I think it's defense first. Defense into offense.
Defense and rebounding.
Yeah, defense, one and rebounding,
get
playing
him one
defense,
and out.
Steals,
yep.
Hitting shots, of course. But at the same point, it's usually because of the defensive end. And you're getting stops. You know, you don't sit there ever and say they went on a 16-14 run. No, right. It's 16-2. Why? Because you stopped them defensively. You continued to score. You took advantage of some things. So you go on runs because they couldn't score.
So you're facing a team that's the number one defense in the league in Milwaukee. Okay, contrary to what Gilroy and others have been saying. And if you watched the broadcast the other night against Detroit, they were giving you all the analytics and why Milwaukee is in number one defensively.
I've got a problem with Glenn.
Right? They're a better rebounding team than you are. They are much different than they were last year in that they're more of a three-point shooting team, especially off the bench, than you are. The one advantage I think you do have against Milwaukee is they're not good defensively when they bring those shooters off the bench with that second team. So you could take advantage of that a little bit. But in all other areas, they concern me. And I'm wondering if Brad Stevens doesn't change the lineup and try to go small, because if with Brook Lopez, what they can do is they can have two guys defending the rim so you don't get those easy lay-ins by Tatum. You don't get those slam dunks to the hoop by Jaylen Brown. You don't get a lot of that easy stuff inside that you got in the last series. You had Miles Turner. You had one guy. Now you got two guys that can do it. And the other thing that Lopez does is at the other end, he forces you out on the perimeter. So he takes the bigs out with him, opens up the court, spaces everything, and then you give the ball to that Greek freak guy, and he starts at the three-point line, and two dribbles later, he's slamming the ball in your face. All right? To me, I'm wondering how you stop all of that. Instead of sitting here and we're getting the Celtics callers, the Celtics are going to win. Tell me how. I'd love to hear it.
Here's the thing. You played him three times in the regular season. He averaged 31 points and over 10 rebounds a game. So yep. They don't have the answer.
Right.
That answer is he's going to get 30 to 40 points.
Right.
So, okay, so how do you get, what's your counterpunch to
that? I'd like to hear that from people.
Well, you don't have one. There's not a guy on their team that can guard him.
Because you want to know something? I think Kyrie will put up 30-plus in a few of these games. I think he's going to have to.
So
you're
going
to have somebody scoring. I'm not worried about Kyrie.
It always comes down. Look at the Bruins. It came down to the guys on their third and fourth line.
Somebody else is going to have to do it. Somebody else is going to have to do it. To the phones we go. Here's Brian in New Hampshire. Hey, Brian.
I think the way we're going to stop Giannis is, we're not going to stop Giannis, just like we couldn't stop LeBron in the past. We just got to shut the rest of the players down.
And who are the rest of the players?
I mean, well, Chris Middleton's dangerous. You got Eric Bledsoe, he always gets chippy with Rozier. You just got to, really set the tone early on. And I think whoever it really is the chippiest team is going to prevail. I think the Celtics can't come out flat. They got to be a little bit chippy. Especially from last year,
like
Game 7.
No, listen, I agree. I think Giannis is. And the only reason why I asked you is because the guy that called early said the same thing, didn't know who anyone else in the team was. And
they have a lot of people.
They had two superstars.
They could have a lot of people.
Middleton was an all-star last year. Middleton was outstanding last year against you.
Yeah, he was.
I think he's a very good player. I think he's going to get his. As evidenced last year in the postseason on the road in Boston, I think he averaged almost 30 points a game in the four games against you on the road. So I think he and Giannis both travel. The question to me, and I think he's the X factor, is Bledsoe. Now, Brogdon, we don't know who's going to play.
No.
But Bledsoe is the guy. He had a couple good games, and then he just crapped all over himself, and Rozier got in his dome. So if he's consistent and good, then you're in trouble.
But they got a couple guys that can come off the bench that are really good shooters. Ilyasova, we saw him last year in Philadelphia. Miritich, who's another one that can score at will. They got other guys that can score. And they're a different team. It is a different coach. They play a different style than what you saw last year in the playoffs. It is not the same team. It goes back to the team that you saw this year, more of, Christian, with the one you were talking about with, you know, would they give up 31 points in each one of those games?
The regular season.
Yeah, 31 points. Yeah. Okay.
And Kyrie Irving was not great either. His shooting percentage was like 39%.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. He's the one
guy. Well, if you're looking at Bledsoe, if you think Bledsoe is going to make a difference, well, that's going to be where it's at.
Kyrie's great. We know that.
Richard's in Rhode Island. Richard?
Hey, guys. I think we got disconnected a few days ago. I had spoken with you guys and talking about how the Celtics have no shot.
Okay.
Then I brought up Twin River and all that. I heard you guys talking about game one, if there's a spread yet. There's no spread yet. It's going to be around 6 or 7. Take the Bucks, like I said. And one more thing. I think I know how we can actually slow down the Celtics, and that's if we play 6-on-5.
Okay, that's good. Let's see if we can change the rules and get that done. Mike is in Malden. Hey, Mike.
Yes, gentlemen. First and foremost, I wanted to thank all of you for actually talking about the Celtics playoff series. Those bozos everywhere else in the world, they're talking about that dumb hockey team.
Right.
No one cares about hockey. I appreciate you very much for talking about this series. And in addition to that, the Celtics won this series because the Celtics actually have a lot more athleticism.
Oh, my God.
15.
No, they don't.
1 through 15.
No, they don't. No. No. You haven't watched the Bucks. You have not watched the Bucks. What is it about Celtic fans have not watched the Bucks? Athleticism? Is there anybody more athletic than Giannis?
In the same way that
he said
you
one
have much 15. Larger breasts than Chris.
Now you make it sense.
You guys are idiots.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, he got you there.
He saved his best for last, didn't he?
Got you there, boy.
Athleticism? Are we kidding ourselves? Does anybody watch those guys play?
Yeah, I was just looking at this, like just going back a couple of games. For example, you know, the Celtics had 17 turnovers in game seven, and they scored 16 points off of it, Indiana. They had 13 turnovers in game three, and Indiana scored 10 points off of it. Okay, so in just that game four against Detroit, Detroit had 11 turnovers. And Milwaukee scored 21 points.
That's exactly it.
So you turn the ball over 17 times. It ain't going to be 16. It's going to be 30-something.
I'll tell you what. If they turn the ball over 16 or 17 times per game, they won't last five. They won't get out of
13 turnovers. Yeah, Indiana got 10 points off of it.
Can't do it. Right.
These guys got 11 turnovers. They got 21.
Yeah, they can score. This hour of OMF been brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. They are now making losing weight even easier for clients with gourmet prepared meals delivered right to your door. Fresh, grass-fed prepared meals, free delivery. Awaken 180 continues to make losing weight what it should be, easy. We got last call coming up next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously.
But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, now stretch my thumb.
Where's it gonna f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier.
All right, it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS for Kids or at carsforkids.com. Do you remember the incident we had a couple years ago where Eck apparently was faced with David Price on the airplane? Apparently, David Price got pissed off because he watched the video of Eck responding to a graphic that they threw up there about E-Rod's performance down in Pawtucket.
Yep.
And just made a comment about it. I wonder if David Price is looking at the video of the game yesterday where Eck was comparing David Price to the way Chris Sale works.
He throws three pitches in the time it takes David Price to throw one, doesn't it?
Yep. Very, very really, different styles.
Totally different style.
Now, he's totally accurate. He's totally accurate. We've seen the side-by-side with Mike Torres and Price throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And he's right. It's 3-1. But I wonder how Price is going to take that.
You know, I missed this yesterday during the game because I was listening to our good friend Lou. But I would say, why would you get mad about that?
Why would you get mad when you're responding to a graphic that says that E-Rod just got lit up in Pawtucket?
Oh, I agree with you too. But if you listen to his voice and his tone, he's not being a jerk about it. He's just stating the obvious. So I guess you're supposed to act like we're just living in make-believe land, right? So I think what Eck does is usually, you know, he does him a favor by pointing out the obvious, so he doesn't have to even answer to it. To me, it's this. He's not. If he gets pissed off, then he's just a bigger dink than we all thought.
Eduardo Rodriguez made his first rehab start tonight.
Yuck. He got pissed at that.
Yuck.
No, I don't buy at all that that was what he got pissed about.
No, it had to be something else.
No, I think if you go back to like the start before that, Price is on the mound and he was doing similar stuff. How long it takes him to throw and look at him. He breathes. Look at him. Breathe again. Touch his shirt. He was doing this while Price between pitches. Yeah. You know, so he was
mocking him, maybe how long he was taking.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, if he goes down this road again.
And I'm sure you guys ridiculed me and mocked me and made fun of me.
It's true. I mean, he takes a ton of... I always say the worst nightmare is 8 innings from Price, and then here comes Barnes. Holy smokes. I think Barnes takes longer than Price does.
I wonder if somebody will ask that question to David Price in the next couple of days.
I hope so.
Did you hear what Eck said the other night on the telecast? We talked a little bit
about character builders.
We talked a little bit today how the Golden Knights got screwed with a 5-minute major after leading 3-0 in the third period with about 10 minutes left in the game. And they actually 4, right? And then they got back into it 4-4. And then they lose it in overtime to San Jose, and their season is over. Boy, these Knights are pissed off. Jonathan Marchessault, listen to him.
It's a f***ing joke. Call it 5 minutes for that? That's... Why don't you have a hockey replay or something? Change the whole outcome of the game. Like, seriously, what is that? It's so disappointing. It's like, I'm trying to get involved in the game. The game's not even close. It's 3-0. Call the 2, okay, but a 5? With something you don't even see? You just call the outcome. Joke, it's embarrassing. That call like changes the whole outcome, changes the whole future of us, the outcome of this year. And I mean, I would be embarrassed if I was them.
How tough is it going to be knowing that that's the story throughout the entire
But it's the same season. Thing with the what's that football game, the Saints. Changes the whole outcome. Like, obviously human error exists, but it's a fast game for everyone. I think everybody needed extra help, and I think they just got involved in the game, called a bad call, and look where we are. Summer starts 5 months now. I think we were ready to get our summer going here.
There is nothing worse though than at the end of a game an injustice. And I'm not saying this is as bad as the Saints game. Obviously, we know the outcome there, and that prevented them from going to the Super Bowl.
The Saints was much worse.
Yeah, it was. But I think they're going to bitch all off season, and I think they have a right to, because there's no way you call a 5-minute major.
And the argument with the Saints, I get it, because obviously catches that ball, or they call the pass interference, they can run the clock down, kick the field goal, and win. So the argument was, well, you went to overtime. You know what I mean? You had the ball. It was your fault. You could say the same thing here, but I think this one's even worse.
I think we were ready to get our summer going here.
I mean, it was a bad penalty. It should have been 2-minute minor. Dumb. It should have been 3-1. Let's see what happens.
I saw the blood.
But
ooh, we have blood.
They gave up 4 goals.
Yeah.
They gave
just
up 4
one.
Goals.
Stop one of them. 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, in 5 minutes, they gave up 4 goals. I mean, you got to look in the mirror, don't you? You'd be pissed about the call.
It's on the road. It's on the road, though, and it's, you know, you're going to give that up. Finally, Russell Wilson. He got that big, huge contract. We saw Ben get the big contract today. When's Brady's coming? August, that's what I hear. So Russell Wilson gave his offensive lineman, you always give your offensive lineman something. Tight ends don't get anything,
you,
right?
You get screwed in all categories.
Offensive line. You block, right? You chip once in a while, don't you?
Oh, please stop.
So he gave them, because he wanted to give them something that would live on forever. Because you give them a watch, who knows, they might lose it next week. So
Sell it.
He gave them $12,000 in Amazon stock.
See, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I want you to be responsible out there, boys.
And you can't sell it either. I guess they could sell that too.
Sell it.
Because they could have watched. But sure, I like the fact that he was thinking outside the box, right? So listen, this is going to go up in value. Give you a watch. If it's a high end watch, a Panerai or something like that, maybe it keeps its value. But nothing he could give them would go up in value. This is worth something. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I like that one.
All right, we didn't do this last week because we can't do anything when you're gone away. I mean, it's you.
Is this why you didn't do it last week?
Yeah, we didn't do it because of you.
Wolfpack,
you call it. We'll do it tomorrow. We have three options in which you decide which topic you want to talk about.
I'm up to go at.
We'll do it for a very short period of time. Mine is why Twitter is totally BS. And I've got evidence now. I have got evidence to back it up. Twitter is a bunch of bull crap. Loses not getting enough me time.
Well, I read this article about how
that's cryptic.
Americans, we're not getting enough me time.
No,
I think I'd like to have more me time. What we need about me time?
I have an interesting question. I would like you to define me time because I have my own.
I will
official opinion of what me time is.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I'll define
you.
It if I pick my me time.
You got to vote for.
Need no more me
time. And Christian wants to talk about Luke Walton's accuser.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
Sabotage. That's what you want to talk about. That's what I heard. That's what they told me. Jesus. Right here, it's on the thing.
Setting you up.
You can vote on Twitter at OMF.
Did you get for saying I don't
on
care?
On WEEI. That's
you
Twitter.
Some
no, that's
OMF.
You guys win.
WEEI, and you can listen tomorrow at 3:30. All right, boys, we'll reconvene tomorrow, 2:00 in the afternoon. We got a baseball game coming up tonight. We'll be back tomorrow too. We are out of here.
It's over. We suck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.